Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Feel the way I've ever felt. I know, gonna smile and not get worried. I try, but it shows. Anyone can make what I have built. And better now, anyone can find the same white pills. It takes my pain away. It's a lie.
Having the board approve a top plan simply means that you agree with what is in it, but a top plan is not worth the paper it's written on if the State Board of Education does not approve it. The department has to review it. They have to decide whether or not they are agreeable to letting us exercise that option.
This is Ellen Odom. She is the attorney for the school district for the Scammy County School Board. Well, they've changed now. Scammy County Public Schools, but you know, everybody still thinks of it the old way. Anyway, turnaround plan is a turnaround option. A top plan is a turnaround option plan. And this was the subject of the special emergency meeting that they had, another special emergency meeting that they had on Friday in order to decide what to do about Warrenton Middle School. And
I am still trying to pull out all the stops and come to terms with Charter Schools USA to see if we can reach some sort of agreeable resolution for the future operation of the school.
So the answer is we still don't have an answer. And it's not, I do not believe that it is Ellen's fault. I think she is doing great work. But you just kind of keep having this not be resolved. So they had a meeting on Friday to decide what to do because Tuesday is the regular meeting and Tuesday is also going to be the State Department of Education meeting. And, you know, they're going to basically decide what to do with us at that point. And we just don't have an agreement yet with Charter Schools USA for Warrenton Middle School.
But in the event that that fails, in the event it takes more time, and DOE says, you know, the school has to close.
Yeah, if push comes to shove and says that the school is going to close, because those are the two options, then what do we do? And it's not like we got a lot of time left.
The fact of the matter is we are up against very hard deadlines.
So we had two things on the agenda for Friday for this portion. They had a other meeting on Friday too, but this was the, you know, the important one, so to speak, about Warrenton Middle School. Item number one was the top plan, and you had the superintendent write a memo to the school board saying, you know, look, we have to adopt rules to make sure that we do what needs to be done. And part of that is that we're going to have a turnaround plan. And the turnaround plan is that we would like to transition to a charter school, but we don't have mutually acceptable terms. And since we have to have a school for these kids, the remaining option is to close the school and to reassign it. And so the plan B, if you want to call it that, is closing the school. Well, along with closing the school, for the purposes of telling, like, teachers, you know, what they're planning to do, you have what's called the SAZAC, which is the Student Attendance Zone Advisory Committee, that is going to figure out what do you do with the students? Because you have, you know, a whole bunch of students zoned into a school that doesn't exist. What do you do with them? Well, about half of the people in that zone are already choosing to go to other schools. What do you do with the other half? Well, you split them between Bailey and Workman. You can't send them to Bellevue because Bellevue's already in, you know, it's not a C school. So it's not eligible to take the students. And Ferry Pass, I think, is too far away. I'm still not 100% clear. I had heard at one time that it was, if you put students there, it would automatically go into a D status. So that would be no good. It might be that it's too far because there are rules about how far you can have kids travel on a bus because of time. So the SAZAC splits them in half, basically, and, you know, puts the, you know, the ones to the west to Bailey. And I guess part of the challenge for that, as I was reading through it the other day, is that, you know, Bailey itself is in the western side of its own zone. So you're moving kids to the west and to the western side of to the west. Like, that's complicated. And Workman is not close either. I mean, Workman is, you know, all the way across town, right? So if you don't know where they are, I apologize. Workman is right by Washington High, okay, if that helps you at all. Right there off of, was it Lanier? I think that, is that Lanier and Lang? And Langley, I think that's right. Anyway, so it's a long way to go. Right? It's a long distance, and they don't want to do that ideally. So they were having this conversation, well, what do we do? And what they voted to do was not to close Warrenton Middle. But to create the like the plan B possibility of being able to close it if they can't come to an agreement with Charter Schools USA, and if this or if the school board says you're out of time, you know, and I'm tired of hearing how the dog ate your homework, and I'm tired of hearing about how, you know, the alarm didn't go off, and I'm tired of hearing about how, you know, your parents didn't feed you good enough dinner, because it's like all the reasons why these people cannot get a decision made and cannot come to an agreement. So Ellen Odom says, look, this is our plan B.
By approving this plan, it would eliminate, the superintendent would have the plan previously approved by the board that he could then submit to the State Board of Education.
So he kind of has the pre-authority to close the school from the school board.
This is not a vote of the board to submit the plan to the State Board of Education in order to close the school. It is simply to create the contingency.
And then they moved to table the redistricting, the SASAC, until Tuesday's meeting. It wasn't exactly clear to me why. My theory is you don't need to put that into place yet. And also, if you pass it, then maybe people start to think, oh, the school is really closed, and, you know, that's not a done deal yet either, and they start to think about redistricting lines and things like that. So, it wasn't clear to me why, but they are waiting on approving the redistricting until after the meeting with the Department of Education Tuesday morning, and then the regular meeting for the school board Tuesday night. 7:16 here on News Radio 92.3, Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And it looks like roads are just fine right now. There's a few accidents, but it looks like they have been moved off to the side. One north of Carr City on 29, Rawls Avenue, Hannah and Ensley Street. Accident on the west side, turning into Blue Angel, but it looks like that has been moved as well. And then Fairfield and Marcus Drive, close to downtown. Certainly, if you see an accident or a slowdown, traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
So you've heard us talk about this a lot, right? You know, what's going to happen with this school? And then what does that affect, what is the effect of that on Bailey and on Workman and on kids who are in grade school now? And what happens to Warrington Middle if it closes? Does it come back later as a charter? I had somebody make an interesting suggestion to me, said, why not make it a magnet school for military only? Kind of like the dual enrollment school at PSC on Warrington. Now that I think about that, it is only military, right? Is that right, Candy? Do you remember that? It's only military, the Warrington Choice School, the PSC campus, the dual enrollment one. I think it is military only. Why not make Warrington into a military only school? And that would sort of solve a couple of problems of, you know, number one, it would maybe create the kind of place where it would really show the military we're committed to having good education for your kids. I don't know. It's an interesting theory. I assume stuff like that is legal. Yeah, maybe it's not. I don't know. It seems like the kind of thing that could be done. But somebody gave me the suggestion. I thought, well, that's a fascinating alternative. I don't know how much the, you know, Bailey and Workman who are taking now. I don't know. I don't know a lot about it other than that what somebody suggested to me, and so I wanted to share it with you. Meanwhile, the school board did want to make sure that parents of kids in the Warrington Middle School zone know that school is going to be provided for them. Well, yeah, I mean, of course, it's like state law that has to be provided for them.
I just want to reiterate that as we continue our conversations with Charter USA, my main desire is that we get confirmation that the students of the Warrington area will be served.
And that's something that, you know, Patty Hightower wanted to be sure to say. Paul Fetzko, same thing.
I will echo the sentiments of the board members and superintendent, in that our number one priority is making sure those students get the best education that can be brought to them.
And then Paul Fetzko also said, this is, again, don't be distracted by what you hear us passing, because what we're passing is only contingencies.
What this is making sure things are in place that students will not be uncertain that they have a place for next fall. If there is no agreement that's reached, those students will be served, and the plans are going forward.
Which, again, has to happen under state law, but it is good to hear him say it, right? You know, and also, by the way, it got me thinking about, as much as this has been a trouble and as much as, you know, the school is not doing well and all that, it did make me realize we do take it for granted, you know, in the United States of America. Your kids are going to get an education. Right? I mean, you know, better or worse, but there's going to be a school for your kids. I don't know. That's the thing that sometimes you forget. Not everybody in the world has that. And not everybody throughout history had that. So just, you know, maybe a small note. Oh, I got a text in here, 437-1620, from somebody who should know, okay, who says that PSC Warrington is actually open to anybody, so that answers that question, and currently no military kids attend it. Really? I wonder why that is. That's weird. Like, if that's true, that's strange. Maybe because it hasn't been open long enough for the change of station people come. I mean, I don't know. I'll have to follow up on that, because that is, as you can hear from my voice, that is very surprising information to me. 720 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. The place you want to go for that next vehicle, Frontier Motors. Look, Dave Ramsey recommends them. I recommend them. And the reason is simple. Not just good service, not just, you know, the people, the prices, the way they handle that. That's all true. But also, they're the kind of cars that Dave Ramsey recommends, because you buy them when they've got, you know, low miles, like a year used or 2 years used. So it's the same car. If you'd have bought it new a year later, that's this car, right? The difference is you didn't have to pay for that time, right? Very expensive that first mile you drive it off the lot. So you buy it with, you know, 10 or 15,000 miles on it, and you drive it until it's got, you know, 300 or 200. That's the way I do cars. I don't know how you do cars. That's the way I do cars. Drive them for 10 or 15 years and then get another one that's a year or two old and drive that until the wheels fall off. I did it with my Accord at 330,000 miles. I'm doing it now with my Civic, and I think I got 190, 195, something like that. We traded in our Grand Caravan, which had almost 200 for the Honda Odyssey we bought at Frontier Motors. So they just sell that kind of car, in addition to, you know, being good folks with good policies and all of that kind of stuff. Frontier Motors specializes in the kind of cars that Dave Ramsey recommends, serving Pensacola for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Here's today's Strength for Life.
Nehemiah in the Old Testament is a great example of the familiar quote, pray like everything depends on God, but also work like everything depends on you. In Nehemiah 4, the people of God are rebuilding the wall around Jerusalem, and they're at the halfway point. After being threatened by opposition from the north, south, east, and west, Nehemiah does two equally important things. He prays to God, and then he posts guards around Jerusalem. Nehemiah clearly believes in the power of prayer, as seen throughout the book, but interestingly, he also believes in the power of personal initiative. Nehemiah believes in doing what he can to solve his own problem. Nehemiah prays fervently, like his success depends on God, but he also works diligently, like it depends on him. Ladies and gentlemen, as you pray about your problems, remember that sometimes God's answer will be to use your personal initiative to meet your need.
For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in, with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
A place to stay informed about what's happening locally and find a deep sense of belonging and community. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Try to be best, cause you're only a man, and a man's got to learn to take it. Try to believe, though the going gets rough, that you got a hand tough to make it.
I think the best t-shirt I have ever seen was being worn by Brent Lane last week. The All Valley Karate Championship tournament, like you'd gone there. You have a problem with that? Oh, sincere. Johnny, you're a cream puff!
It's so funny. His wife gave that to him for Christmas, and then
who,
Grandpa Allen, her dad. Yeah, Angela
did.
Oh,
nice.
And then her dad was like, oh, were you in that, Brent? And he goes, yeah.
I know. That is so 100%. Grandpa Allen is one of the sweet. He
He's
is like
the
sweetest,
ever
best person.
Life,
yeah, and
so.
If
you've ever seen him dancing at our parade.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that man.
That's hilarious. Were you in that, Brent? That's great. 724 News Radio 92.3. I got a couple of good texts in here. This is what, again, I'm always so humbled by the people who know so much that you decide on a Monday morning that what you want to do is drive into work, listen to me. I find that amazing. So Thank you. Got so many people texting me in here. One said, most of the high school age military kids go to West Florida, which is the, you know, you have the, oh goodness, what do you call it? No. I mean, yeah, yes, it's a magnet, but it's all for career academies. It's all career academies where they're all learning towards a profession of some kind. Somebody else says, you know, if they did let Warrington Middle School get taken over for just military, my question had always been like, who would run it? I mean, the school board, maybe you wouldn't vote for them to run it. And then if Charter Schools USA is not going to, who's going to run it? And they said, well, let the DOD schools run it. Oh, which I makes sense that you would have a slice of the military that would specifically be in charge of, you know, schools on bases, I presume, and schools that are not on bases that are for military kids around the area. So very good. And that also somebody said that it is open to anyone who is eligible. So interesting. 437-1620. Yeah, and so a follow-up from the person I was talking to before that said to me that the PSC Warrington campus, the dual enrollment campus, is 11th and 12th grade only right now, charter school, and no military kids happen to be enrolled, which is that's, I thought the purpose of this was to create a school that the military kids would want to attend, but if they're preferring to go to West Florida, well, that's interesting information. Candy has traffic on the fives. Candy?
Yeah, it's not just military that want to leave because their kids aren't getting a good education. There's a lot of, like, a big credit union that hired a whole lot of people from Virginia that are all going back because the schools here, quote, suck.
And remember, at Warrington specifically, half the kids choice out.
Absolutely. So. Yeah, man, what does that say? Ray County, Ostrich Road, and Chemstrand Road. Chemstrand Ray Street showing a hit-and-run crash, but not showing a roadblock this morning. North of I-10, and just on the other side of 29, another hit-and-run crash at Rawls, Hannah, and Ansley Street. But again, none of these are showing roadblocks. Use caution, as you know, wherever you are in East Bay Boulevard and Navarre, closed just south of Copple Drive, part of the Drainage Improvement Project, brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Big enough to get the job done, small enough to care. 250-3756 for a no-hassle estimate. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Hey, if you've got a plumbing issue of any kind, leak, drip, weird sound on the wall when you flush the toilet, temperature, pressure, you know, water problems, which, by the way, don't fix themselves. And if you think it did, that means it probably got worse in a way that's just not symptomizing. You're not seeing the problem, so it's probably getting ready to be worse. Anyway, call Barbary Plumbing. They'll fix these problems. 477-8782. Flat rate pricing by the job, not by the time it takes. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas says the Border Patrol has experienced a 50% drop in encounters since Title 42 ended last week. He says the Border Patrol saw more than 10,000 encounters last week, and the Border Patrol reported 6,300 on Friday, then 4,200 on Saturday. Two earthquakes hit on two separate faults just about a second apart in San Diego County, California yesterday. One of them was a magnitude 3.4 just west of Tecate, Mexico, and the second was 3.6 by southwest of Progreso, Mexico. There were no damage or injuries reported, but seismologists say that it's just very rare to have two earthquakes on two separate faults that are so close together. And Britney Spears says she is done with concert performances. TMZ reporting that although she is planning a recording comeback, she won't be doing any tours or residencies.
Okay. This has a 100% no effect on my life. Because I wasn't going to her concert to begin with, but interesting that she's done performing. In I wonder why though, right? I mean, she does all the social media stuff,
right?
And, you know,
it seems kind of odd because I'd think that's where
and that's the money and right. and the thrill. I mean, like the thrill of being a performer is having your adoring fans, right?
Yeah, and artists are not making that much off their recordings anymore.
Exactly. Yeah, weird choice. But maybe she doesn't need, I don't know, you know how she's set financially. But David, thanks so much for the update. 729 on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? Oh, there's an interesting story about a school teacher who is now being suspended, a fifth grade teacher, Jenna Barbee. This is in Barbee, by the way, if that makes any difference in how you interpret her last name. Hernando County School Board, they have suspended her. Because she showed a Disney movie in class without permission. Now, she had permission from parents to show PG movies, but, you know, this is Strange World, the 2022 movie that features, anybody, the first openly gay main character. who apparently in the movie likes another boy. So this is, you know, she's in trouble now because you have the Parental Rights and Education Act signed by Governor DeSantis last year. So because she did not get pre-approval for the showing. Although what's interesting about this, what I'm not quite sure is you can't have instructional materials on sexual orientation or identity, but that's K through 3 until the newer law or the new rules go into effect. And this is a fifth grade, so I'm not quite sure how that fits within the scope of this bill, unless it's, you know, parental rights for everything else. You've got to get pre-approved permission. So just kind of be aware that's a story that sort of is developing at the moment. David Wayne, what do you have coming up, sir?
Well, the State Department of Education meeting tomorrow about Warrington. We'll tell you about it after Fox.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. Border Patrol sources tell Fox unexpectedly fewer migrants have attempted to cross since the expiration of asylum restrictions. There was a surge, though, last week.
Border Patrol sources tell Fox News migrant encounters over the past few days have drastically fallen. Texas Governor Greg Abbott sent another busload of migrants to the Naval Observatory in Washington, D.C. yesterday, not far from Vice President Kamala Harris's home. Governor Abbott says he will continue sending migrants to cities like D.C., Chicago, and New York.
Matt Finn in El Paso. A legal defense fund for a Marine veteran charged with manslaughter in New York City hits nearly $2 million. Daniel Penny put a homeless man, Jordan Neely, in a chokehold. An attorney says to defend himself and other subway passengers.
The attorney says, quote, this level of support demonstrates that the situation forced upon him in that subway car earlier this month has struck a chord in the psyche of New Yorkers and has been echoed nationwide.
Cheryl Cassoni with Fox Business. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 731 News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, 73 degrees, the sun shining here in Pensacola. The State Department of Education getting involved in the Escambia School Board's contract with Charter Schools USA. Tomorrow, the state board meeting to discuss the Escambia School District Board not meeting that May 1st deadline for a signed contract for the organization to run Warrington Middle School.
I still, as I've shared with the board, I am still trying to pull out all the stops and come to terms with Charter Schools USA to see if we can reach some sort of agreeable resolution for the future operation of the school.
That's Escambia School District Attorney Ellen Odom, and from an emergency meeting that was held late last week. The Escambia School Board did approve a contingency plan in case they do have to close Warrington Middle School. If that happens, students will have to be sent to Bailey or Workman. The Escambia School District says the main item holding the deal up has been Charter Schools USA wanting to turn the school into an unzoned K-12. The state school board meeting again tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. in the Escambia School District school board meeting later that evening. The American Red Cross held a workshop to help folks get ready for hurricane season and potentially operating evacuation shelters in Milton. That meeting happened on Saturday. During the workshop, they taught fundamentals of operating an evacuation shelter, and the Red Cross encouraging everybody to be ready for hurricane season, which starts here in just over 2 weeks. A serial burglar was booked into the Escambia County Jail recently on 117 different burglary charges. Jail records show 51-year-old Dwayne Officer is charged with several counts each of burglary, possession of burglary tools, property damage, and larceny. Right now, no word on how many of those alleged offenses may have happened here in Escambia County. Jail records also show Officer was on a hold from the State Department of Corrections, and previously he'd been sentenced to several years in prison on burglary charges out of both Leon and Alachua counties. And police say that Officer had been linked to burglary sprees all across the Florida Panhandle, Jacksonville, Clearwater, St. John's, and also Pasco counties. Governor Ron DeSantis still has not declared that he's actually running for president, but he went to Iowa over the weekend to meet with potential voters there. NBC's Ali Raffa.
The signs in Iowa this weekend said DeSantis 2024.
We must reject the culture of losing that has infected our party in recent years.
And the Florida governor ramped up his veiled attacks on the GOP's frontrunner, former President Trump.
The time for excuses is over.
And, of course, all of this is after former President Trump attacked Ron DeSantis in an ad that was posted on Friday. Trump called the governor's recent foreign travels a, quote, total bomb, and said people didn't understand why he took that overseas trip. Florida's Byron Donalds says President Joe Biden may be to blame for that debt ceiling crisis.
You cannot just continue to spend massive amounts of money and then borrow massive amounts of money and there will be no consequences.
And the congressman says Joe Biden brings the U.S. to a crisis point at every turn and blames the president for not being willing to negotiate on spending cuts. President Biden meeting with House Speaker Kevin McCarthy and other congressional leaders again this week to continue those negotiations. 735, it's News Radio 92.3, and Candy has a look at our traffic on the fives.
All right, a few accidents. These are hit-and-run crashes and not showing roadblocks right now. One is in Cantonment, almost Cantonment. It's Ray and Kemstrand Road. So Cantonment. Use caution there. Again, not a roadblock. Rawls, Hannah, and West Ensley. This is just off 29 north of I-10. Cerny and Blue Angel showing an accident this morning with no roadblock, and it looks like that's it. Certainly use caution as you know wherever you are. Have an accident or see an accident and have a traffic tip. Text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
And thank you very much, Candy. Now a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
We're going to be seeing a beautiful warm day today with temperatures rising near 91 degrees, plenty of humidity with a 40% chance of afternoon showers and thunderstorms. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 73. Staying warm for your Tuesday with a 30% chance of afternoon showers and thunderstorms. High on Tuesday near 87 degrees. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 73. Rain chances continue for Wednesday with a 50% chance of rain with a high near 86. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now it's 73 sunshine in Pensacola, 77 in Gulf Breeze, 73 in Milton. Your next news at 8. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kushinko with Your Money Now. The writer's strike is casting a shadow over the TV business's annual advertising bazaar, which was already under pressure from a softening ad market and eroding television ratings. Due to concerns over picketing writers, Netflix canceled its in-person presentation to advertisers, which was scheduled to take place next week in New York City. Instead, Netflix will make its presentation virtually. Other companies are sticking to their plans, but the events are expected to be more low-key and feature fewer stars. Tom Brady is looking to add to his retirement portfolio with a stake in an NFL team that, as a player, he famously made miserable. Brady's in talks to buy a piece of the Las Vegas Raiders. The price and size of the ownership stake couldn't be learned immediately. The move would be another sports venture for Brady, who retired for a second consecutive year earlier this offseason. He has previously bought into the WNBA's Las Vegas Aces, a team like the Raiders is owned by Mark Davis. That's Your Money Now.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. From our spectacular beaches to the miles of rivers and unspoiled forests, the Gulf Coast offers some of the best family adventure around. And the Subaru Crosstrek and Subaru Forester are the perfect family vehicles to explore every dune and unpaved trail in Northwest Florida. Both come standard with sure-footed symmetrical all-wheel drive to take you deep into the wild places you love. The Crosstrek is powered by 182 horsepower Subaru boxer engine that adds plenty of go to any adventure. And the Forester boasts 9.2 inches of ground clearance to get you through every wilderness challenge. There's more than enough room for your gear and plenty of options to make the Crosstrek or Forester fit your lifestyle. In a Subaru, the destination is the journey. So grab the kids and the dog and follow your own path to adventure. Love is out there at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola. Online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Now it's time for another tip from ADX Digital, your comprehensive digital marketing partners.
Many businesses in our area ask us point blank, why do I need you, meaning ADX Digital, to do my business's digital marketing? Why can't I just do it on my own with Facebook and Google? Well, just because you can does not necessarily mean you should. The reality of it is digital marketing is constantly changing, growing, and evolving. Are you up to date with the latest advancements? Trained in the latest technologies and platforms? Do you really have the time to design all the ads on your own? Read the ebooks, plan the campaign, and begin to try to learn all of this stuff yourself? Aren't you already responsible for holding down the workload of 2-3 full-time jobs already? It's time you contact our trusted team of media experts at ADX Digital. We are your trusted team for community partnerships and radio marketing, and a comprehensive list of opportunities available for you in the online digital marketing space. We invite you to email us today at connect@adxdigitalmarketing.com to get started on your path to a digital marketing partnership.
ADX Digital, your comprehensive digital marketing partners.
Are you looking for the best news in talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Dress code. I'd like to talk about that myself. The reason is that this is like my daughter, who's the number one lobbyist for elementary schools students in the county, consistently says, I'm tired of the furries. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, where is this? So I'm all about trying to find a way that that is not acceptable in any way, because what it does is they then do the barking and all the other weird stuff. Mm-hmm. So like, this is something that comes up at our dinner table at least every month.
This, in case you're not familiar, and there's no reason you would.
Finally, a subject I can weigh in on.
I know. I'm looking forward to your expertise on this, Candy. Matt Susan, who is the board chair for the Brevard School District. The Brevard School Board is having a conversation about the furries.
At some point, we've got to, you know, curb that behavior. Is there a way that you guys suggest that we can not have that in there? I mean, it already should not be allowed, right?
They were having a wide-ranging conversation about attire, dress code, right, behavior policy, stuff like that. And he says, look, my little girl who's in elementary school comes home and we talk about this all the time. Can we not prohibit that kind of stuff? Paul Gibbs is the attorney for the school board.
First time I've heard of the furry movement, so.
Really?
Really?
Oh.
I have not heard of any of
what
this.
What hole are you living in?
Living in?
Nope, right. I have not. So this right here is the first time I've heard of the furry movement, so I'll have to look into it.
So he doesn't know anything, he hasn't heard anything, and if you didn't know anything, and we'll talk about what it is in just a second, but if you didn't know anything, then you would say something like...
I remember when I was in high school, people wore dog collars, but that was as far as it went.
Aw.
Well, they've gone.
But they weren't trying to be a dog.
They stepped it up.
So what I'm saying is there's a majority of the board, I think, that wants to move forward with not making this appropriate as dress code. Is there a way you can find to put it in there to make it work?
I will assist Mr. Reed as his new designee on this policy as of today.
So, yeah. Is it like dog collars? No. He's so
but
cute.
But you remember that, though, like
right.
The punk stuff?
You know,
sure.
Right. I mean, Sid Vicious wore a dog collar, so, you know, why
right.
not, right?
Right.
Okay, so Candy.
Okay. So furries, and I didn't know it was like a... I'm sure this is not a dirty thing. These are just the kids that like to
dress
up as furries.
People think it's always dirty.
Right.
People
and
think
I
it's a sex thing.
I never thought about it like that until I saw an episode of CSI, and I was like, I did not know they did that with that. And I like to wear costumes and stuff, but also when I was over at Cat Country as their promotion director forever, it seemed... some people are afraid of mascots.
Really?
Like, terrified. No lie. And I didn't know there was a whole community of people that they just like to mask. I don't know why you would do that, because costumes are hot. You
they
stink
are uncomfortable,
and it's whatever.
It's sweaty
but
and nasty,
get,
yeah.
Yeah, if you need that thing. But there are some people doing a Pensacon commercial, for example.
Sure.
Yeah, that people just do that. They just dress up. And that is their thing. That's and they're not hurting anyone. They're just... furry, but also there's dress codes in schools. So, but I,
right.
And I could see a child being afraid of that.
Tails,
like if somebody dressed up as
masks,
a clown every day. Absolutely,
right.
Yeah.
So question is, to what degree are they barking, meowing? To what degree are they pretending, just having fun, really
well,
trying 100%. To be trans species, you know? Like,
I don't think they're trying to be a dog.
But how sure
cat.
Are you?
Well, not very,
okay,
because
fair
I didn't
enough.
I didn't realize that they...
I had seen some
like,
of this when
how,
I would...
Why would you want to do anything in those outfits anyway? They're gross and they have to be dry cleaned.
I'm just saying when I would pick my son up from the middle school when he was at middle school, and I'd be like, oh, so there's a things look different these days.
Do people dress up like that?
Yeah, somewhat. I mean, not a lot, but a little. People were all kinds of weird stuff. I saw a lot of strange things when I was in the car rider line at the middle school.
Oh.
This is Katie Campbell again from Brevard.
I want to mention though something because, I mean, there is the firm and there's people wearing tails and barking, but there have been for years, if you have a, you know, and I know you have a teenage daughter, Claire's just selling them all over. The girls were just wearing headbands that had animal ears on them. Right. It was just
Mickey Mouse ears.
And they weren't, there are plenty, and I want you to just consider our little elementary school girls who they're not trying to be a furry. They just, it's a headband and it's cute and it has flowers or it's got a unicorn or whatever. They're not trying to be an animal. They're just, they like the headband. So are we, you know, so that's what I'm like. So if we want to say you can't wear a tail because that's a tripping hazard or whatever, or, it, you know, it's fine. I just don't know if we have to go all the way to curbing. For some students, it's just what they think is cute. And
so, yeah, there's a pretty wide range of reasons that somebody might, and degrees to which they might participate, obviously. And by the way, part of the reason I wanted to play this stuff for you is just because it's been in the news. If you wondered why the PNJ had an article about what is a furry, this is why they had the article about that. But also because, in case you thought that, for example, the Santa Rosa County Commission or the Milton City Council or the Escambia County Commission, not so much recently the Pensacola City Council, since Sherry transitioned off, but, you know, if you wondered, like, are we uniquely dysfunctional here? And the answer is no. There's personality conflicts at all of these boards. I'll share that with you in just a second. But Candy's got traffic on the fives first.
The interestingest text. I know that's not a word, but there's a lot of good stuff. There's three accidents, and it doesn't look like any are roadblocks. Cerny and Blue Angel moved off to the side. Rawls, Hanna, and Ensley. Now, this is north of I-10, just off 29. That's also not blocking anything. And then Chemstrand and Ray Street also showing an accident with no roadblock. Certainly, if you have a traffic tip, text him in or furry conversation. These are funny to me. 437-1620 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Yeah, we got some interesting texts in here. One was that somebody said they were a mascot for several years and said you wouldn't believe how many people came up to them and propositioned them.
Oh my God. Okay, what happened to
without
us?
Without even knowing if it's a boy or a girl,
right,
in there.
And those costumes are hot, yeah, as heck. But yeah, man. We had a sweet guy that, yes,
it just completely and he quit stunned
because
by
they
that.
Were, yeah, they were grabby.
I know, that's
like,
terrible.
Yeah.
Somebody here poor says, anti-furry, that's so speciesist, right? somebody here says, you're at school not to learn how to win a costume contest. You learn how, you're there to get an education. all of that's pretty much on target. Oh, somebody here says, I did not watch because I don't watch American Idol, but says, Katy Perry's costume last night is Elastic Girl for 2 hours on American Idol.
I haven't seen it, but
I don't know. Somebody here says furries dress up like animals because they want to be that animal they actually think they are. So
I bet some do.
Yeah, that's, I'm sure
there were
some
freaks at that Pensacon shoot. I was like, wow, wait, there's some normal.
And there's some very normal people. And some
like
people
that,
who just play up. And there's a variety. Okay.
Yep.
So back to the Brevard County School Board. Let me just tell you that. This Matt Susan again, board chair, trying to solve this problem.
Here's the bottom line. It's inappropriate. Like utilization of like behavior in a school, and we just need to end it. So if there's a way that you guys, in your infinite knowledge of dress code violation, whatever, can we figure it out?
We can.
Can we find a solution? Now, in order to understand this next series of clips, you kind of got to know that there is apparently deep, deep backstory between Matt Susan, the board chair, who's a little bit, I thought a little bit brusque, bully-esque, okay, a little bit. But again, I'm sure there's big backstory here between him and Jennifer Jenkins, who you'll hear her voice on this clip. And they apparently, they either maybe one time were lovers because they hate each other with that level of, like, I'm not saying they were. I'm just
like
saying.
Like Walgreens and CVS.
You
love
feel
it.
Like, I mean, maybe they're divorced from each other. It's like, that's the only, that makes sense here based on how this interaction goes.
No furry behavior.
But, there's yeah,
like,
I was going
to no
say.
No furry dress code.
I hear like, two things going on, the dress code and then behavior.
Behavior is another issue.
Acting like an animal. That's a separate issue than right. Just wearing the headbands, yep, with the cat ears.
Can I jump in here, please?
Just hang on.
Mr. Susan.
Can I finish?
You
the,
went like back and forth like
yeah,
four
it's
times.
Yeah, called because I'm asking questions
no,
of
you,
staff,
you
Ms.
went
Jenkins.
After Ms. Campbell
Ms.
again.
Jenkins, just let me continue here for a second. Then we'll
point
come
of
to
order,
you.
Mr. Susan.
So, Mr. Reed.
Somebody says point of order. He's like, I'm just going to keep on talking. That's all I care about here. Then Administrator Chris Reed.
What are you looking from us so that we can deliver that right now? You're looking for us to try to give you some more direction, or what would you need from that?
Yeah, I mean, I would hope that we could get the words that you're all gonna be happy with. So clothing to emulate a non-human, something that anyone could agree to, that you could give me guidance to that.
Yeah.
Well, but clothing that emulates a non-human, I mean, what about Mascot Day? What about Halloween? What about, I don't know, there's a lot of things you might wear that.
Dude, I like to wear pajamas, and I would wear pajamas to school on Halloween.
Oh, this guy, Matt Susan, hates the pajama day.
Well.
Which, by the way, that was another thing that caught me by surprise, all the pajama day and just all the time pajamas, either bottoms or fulls. Like, I'm like, it's school.
Well,
it's
if you're not wearing lingerie, who cares? They're just fluffy pants.
Just, I know, but, you know, clothing matters. Anyway, Jennifer Jenkins says,
guys, I like that.
This is not rocket science, and it's not an epidemic. If you don't want tails on kids, just say no tails. This is ridiculous. This conversation about furries is insane and a culture war conversation. The barking has nothing to do with that. If you guys are keeping up with the trends, it's this weird, ridiculous thing that kids are doing in middle school. All children barking and meowing at each other.
Not mine.
It's weird, but they're doing it. It has nothing to do with a kid wearing a tail. It's all the kids, unfortunately. Speak to your middle school teachers. They'll tell you. We're overcomplicating this. You don't want to wear tails? Say no tails. End of story.
So she says it's a crazy culture war issue, and he's much ado about nothing. He says,
no, there's more than tails. I mean, it's not just tails. And I would say that there's a disingenuous comment, Miss Jenkins, when you start saying that it's only in middle school, and the fact that my daughter's in elementary school and been talking about it for 3 years. And then there's also others that are around the thing. This is an issue. Let's just deal with it. Let's not degrade it.
I liked Mr. Reed's comment.
I like it.
Because honestly, that covers other things that could come up in the future.
Yes. Yes. I like it.
Ways of being deviant that we haven't even thought of yet. We want a policy for that. So she's not happy with him calling her disingenuous.
Number one, your favorite word is disingenuous. Do not tell me that my words are disingenuous. You can have a different opinion than mine. Again, we're equally elected officials. You don't have to combat every single thing that I say. You don't have to agree with it. That's fine. You don't get to put it down and say it's disingenuous. Are you listening, Mr. Susan?
No, he's muttering to somebody else.
Okay,
right.
I'm saying the same thing to you. Secondly, there has been this conversation this entire time. Mr. Susan, point of order.
Because he's like reading through the next item, trying to figure out what to do, and he's not going to take it.
Boy, there's nothing that'll make a woman madder than, I mean, I'm sorry, I'm speaking for our gender, absolutely.
So, you know, it's weird, but the tone here is sort of familiar.
I know.
Days of our Brevard.
Now, we're the Florida people talk about when they say Florida man.
That's right. Yeah. Look, so I wanted to share it with you because it's been in the news and it was entertaining and weird, and partially because it is going on here in Escambia County Schools. I'm sure just as much as in Brevard. I know from some experience.
Some of the texts, I had no idea.
Right.
Well, I didn't. So it's not illegal to wear a costume to school?
I don't know the school policy for attire, but I'm guessing it's not. I haven't read either Santa Rosa or Escambia.
I never really thought about it. Can I wear them to work?
And also part of what I wanted to do here was to show you that it's not only our local elected official boards that are conflict-driven and chaotic. Although I'll tell you what was the weirdest thing to me is watching this school board, and nobody on this school board was over 50. Nobody. They were all young.
That's
they were all like 35
because they care
to 45.
About the education.
Yeah,
good.
And they were just, they all just seemed so normal. They seemed like people who were just like having the meeting after church or over coffee or something. They did. I don't know. They didn't seem like politicians to me. Which
that's the new breed. That's good, right?
Which is good. I mean, it was refreshing. 7:53 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go, shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about five times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
News Radio Pensacola has a team of experienced and award-winning journalists dedicated to bringing you the most accurate and up-to-date news coverage. Informative, local, dependable.
How was school?
Worst day of my life. What do you think?
Good morning, 7:55, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, I got to see the bridge lights Saturday night coming home from Destin. They are bright. Holy smokes. You know, like driving over the bridge, actually. I'd never seen them at night myself. I'd seen videos and stuff, and I might have seen one at a distance. But
are these the color lights?
Yeah. They were blue and white, I think. It was the colors that I saw on Saturday. Very bright. Like almost distractingly bright. But you can't really see them when you're driving on the bridge, except for when you first go on from Gulf Breeze. And then you can kind of see, because the bridge is not a straight line, there's a part where you can kind of see down to see them. And then, of course, the arches were lit up. But, yeah, it's cool. You know, it's just different. And, you know, people seem to really like it. Like, I haven't really seen it from the side so much to tell, but it's different. I like it. So, 7:55, Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And not showing any slowdowns. There is another accident at what sounds like the most delicious intersection ever, Cayenne Way and Jambalaya Trail. It's off Blue Angel Parkway. It's showing a hit-and-run crash, but not showing a roadblock. Caution there, and wherever you are, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm sorry if I blinked and you said this already, but there might be some kind of incident. Fairfield between Palafox and 110, there's a car stopped in the middle lane.
Oh, okay. You know,
with
a
police car.
Oh, my.
Blocking one westbound lane, and there's an ambulance on the scene, so maybe some kind of a medical incident. Who knows? But
be careful.
You know,
sure, and this just popped up, too. Highway 98 and El Rito Drive in Gulf Breeze showing an accident with no roadblock. Thank you for that. And certainly, if you have a traffic tip, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David? Get Tim in just
a
second.
There we go. There are fewer encounters being reported at the southern border after the expiration of Title 42. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas says that Border Patrol has now seen a 50% drop in encounters since Title 42 ended last week. President Biden says he wants states to help strengthen background checks on gun buyers under 21, which he believes would slow the pace of mass shootings. He wrote a weekend op-ed in USA Today. He wrote that he's calling for states to enact laws giving federal background check system access to records that could prohibit someone from under the age of 21 from purchasing a firearm. And kind of a neat story here. A Northwest Florida Army soldier that never made it home from Korea 70 years ago. He's finally going to be buried in his hometown. Corporal Alton Christie will be buried in Jasper early next month. The last time his brother saw him was shortly before he shipped out.
I remember him saying, he's going to leave, I think, around 3 o'clock. And from out of the blue, he says, this might be the last time you see me.
That's Claude Christie. Now, he and his family will be laying Alton to rest with full military honors next month. Apparently, he'd been buried in an unknown soldier's grave in Hawaii for the last 70 years. So,
Wow. I love that we continue to follow up on these things and make sure they get the right disposition. That's important. David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620. If you love the way your lawn looks in the summer, great. You know, do what you did before. You'll get the results you got before. On the other hand, if you're embarrassed by your lawn, you don't love the way it looks in the summer, you're going to have to do something different. Because if you do what you did before, you will get the results you got before. And if you don't want them, call NSEC. Have them come out and look at your lawn and give you, it's no cost. Have them just look and see what they would do. They'll inspect it. They'll do a soil sample. They'll figure out how to, you know, specifically design 8 annual applications, time program, target to get your lawn, what it needs, when it needs it. And then, you know, that... that's just free to look at what it is and find out what the price might be, and then you can make an adult decision. If you do sign up today, you get your first lawn application free with any new annual lawn program that includes the soil sample, lime treatment, and an average size yard. They're also hiring full-time pest and lawn technicians in Pensacola, Mobile, Baldwin County, and Panama City. Pay, benefits, 401k, health insurance. It's a career, not just a job. Apply at workwithnsec. That's E-N-S-E-C. com. All right, coming up next hour, we're going to talk to the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office, find out what's going on over the last week in Santa Rosa County. And we have the frivolous topic, which if you've never listened, at 8:35, we always bicker about something completely silly.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620, News Radio 92.3.